news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807 on a Tuesday. And Quinn Hillier joins us from the road.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So while a lot of work stops this week as folks, well, celebrate Christmas, the work in D.C. sure hasn't. And nonstop pressers and news coming out. And all along the way, too, so we had this Turning Point America Fest over the weekend and latter half of last week, and kind of a spotlight on an internal divide in the Republican Party, mostly having to do with members of the media, not so much actual, you know, legislators, but the Heritage Foundation, a part of this as well. And I've read that, you know, Mike Pence has actually poached quite a few of these members of the Heritage Foundation, but there's an internal split there. Kind of explain to us what's going on.
Well, of course, there was that controversy about 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks, where the head of Heritage, Kevin Roberts, who has taken them in an entirely new direction, said, you know, stood by Tucker Carlson after Tucker Carlson had that neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes on his show and said, you know, a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff. And Kevin Roberts, who had no business even sticking his nose in, put out a video saying, oh, we stand with Tucker, we'll never abandon Tucker. And that started a whole lot of dissension there. And basically, Roberts has pulled Heritage away from the Reaganite ideals and into something much more like Pat Buchanan, and even beyond Pat Buchanan, if people remember who he is, and has never adequately, in a lot of people's minds, never adequately made up for basically sounding anti-Semitic. And so yesterday, I think it was, the entire team of scholars in basically the three biggest divisions of the Heritage Foundation all resigned from Heritage in one day and moved over to the growing organization led by Mike Pence. It's been around for 4 years now, but really, you know, sort of old conservative movement, Reaganite ideals. They all moved en masse. They resigned en masse. This is the Ed Meese Center for Constitutional Studies, which is huge at Heritage. It's the main economic affairs unit, and I forgot what the third one was. Something like 35 scholars left Heritage with sometimes blistering letters blasting Kevin Roberts in the direction he's taking him. And sorry to sort of filibuster here, but
no, it's fine.
The Ed Meese Center is the one that particularly interests me, because I dealt with them so much for so many years. You know, that's what I've written a lot about, is Constitution and court cases, and I was friends with a lot of those scholars, and four of their very top people who are very much solid conservatives and not necessarily never Trumpers either. But Hans von Spakovsky, we've had on the showdown here, either Noon or y'all's. He is one of the two top conservative election lawyers in the country, and he left. Cully Stimson, I think we've had on the show down here. He is the top guy on military and military law, and on you know, prosecutor stuff, where he's, you know, very, very hard line against drugs and stuff like that. Wonderful guy. And then Tom Gipping and John Malcolm are two of their leading scholars, just sort of constitutional experts. They all left. That's a big deal. And the last thing I'll say is, it's called the Ed Meese Center. Ed Meese was Ronald Reagan's attorney general. He's the guy that basically kickstarted the entire legal movement that has become known as originalism with a speech in 1986. They named the center after him. He's been a crucial part of Heritage all these years. And when all the people left the Ed Meese Center to go join Mike Pence's organization, Ed Meese himself put out a statement yesterday congratulating and applauding them. Oh, so when Ed Meese applauds people for leading the Ed Meese Center, that tells you that Heritage is really messed up.
Yeah, and I want to get into, you know, the whole Tucker Carlson debate they're having and Fuentes, but can you kind of explain the Heritage Foundation, some of these think tanks, why are they important? What have they affected over the years?
Well, the probably three most important think tanks for conservatives through the years have been American Enterprise Institute, which is, you know, older line, and it has a lot of different scholars that sort of run the gamut of various right to center right. The Cato Institute, which is libertarian, and the most influential of all is the Heritage Foundation. It started in the 1970s, and it is the leading think tank for sort of Reaganite, Bill Buckleyite conservatism. It led the way in a lot of the conservative Reagan reforms. It led the way. I mean, just for nearly 50 years. In fact, it's been more than 50 years. Coming out with the blueprints, the Gingrich Revolution relied heavily on the scholarship of the Heritage Foundation. And then the Heritage Foundation came out with, it was controversial during the campaign, Project 25, which the Trump administration has been following. So it's really, really important to the whole sort of intellectual background of what has become the Republican Party.
So as far as you know, has Kevin Roberts himself said anything anti-Semitic, or is this all having to do with his support of Tucker, who's under fire for who he's interviewing?
Just giving Fuentes a platform, right? That was the objection, correct?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, look, Kevin Roberts has done a lot of stuff there that has been taken Heritage away from free market principles, away from free trade principles, and you know, a lot of other things people had like it. He's been very, very pro-Russia, anti-Ukraine. But on the anti-Semitic stuff, when Tucker had Fuentes and didn't challenge him, and then Robert, again, had no business sticking his nose in, but he put out this video and saying, we will stand with Tucker. When he faced all the blowback, he put out what was seen by most people as a mealy-mouthed semi-apology, and hasn't done anything since then to show that he really gets it. And so it's sort of a long-range kind of thing where he's sort of played footsie with this vaguely to explicitly anti-Semitic part of the right, and plus abandoned Reaganism on a lot of other things. But it's just problematic for people who have grown up pushing the nostrums that were known as conservatism for the last 65 years.
Norms of the day, yeah.
You know, I'm no fan of Nick Fuentes. And, I mean, he's a guy who endorsed Kanye West just a couple cycles ago, so I don't think he's all there. I think he's more troll than substance, but he does have a massive audience, which is something that I think at least politicians should be wondering what the appeal is, because I don't think the entire appeal of Fuentes is his racism or anti-Semitism. I think there's something else that he has young people that are following him for.
That's a good point.
As far as the Tucker portion of this, which is all kind of centers around him, quote-unquote, platforming Fuentes, to me that sounds a whole lot like the cancel culture, and I don't
know.
Well, I think so, because I watched that Carlson. I've watched a lot of Tucker Carlson, and I don't think, like he does so often, that everything's a Jewish conspiracy. But when you hear him talk, too, he's not necessarily anti-Semitic, at least from what I've seen. Oh, he just has an issue with Israel and the kind of control it seems they have over U.S. foreign policy. And I think he thinks it goes a lot further than I do. But ripping the Republican Party because of who decides to interview whom? I mean, that's kind of what this looks like to me.
No, it's a lot more than who decides to interview whom. First of all, putting on Nick Valenti, you might as well be putting on Goebbels. I mean, he's that much of a neo-Nazi. But Tucker himself, if I weren't driving, I would call up statement after statement after statement in the last 4 or 5 years, absolutely hateful and blatantly anti-Semitic. I mean, by now, there's almost nobody that pays attention that can say that that Tucker Carlson has not become ravingly anti-Semitic. It's not just anti-Israel. He uses all these tropes about you know, the rich Jewish financiers and all this stuff, and it is just it's blatantly anti-Semitic, and there's no way that anybody on the right should be standing with Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry. It's just it's outrageous. It's not just the one interview where he basically played nice with Nick Fuentes and Fuentes, you know, let him spew all of his hate without challenging him. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, the defenders of Tucker will say, I believe, basically he questions Israeli government policies, and he questions the way that Israeli dictates a lot of things to the United States, and that's...
Tucker does a lot more than the Israel stuff, is my point,
right,
man. It's
okay.
A lot more than just anti-Israel.
Okay. So, you know, beyond the Heritage Foundation, this really blew up during the Turning Point event this last week, and to have Ben Shapiro and then Tucker on, I think same day, or maybe back-to-back days.
I think Shapiro was on during the day, and Tucker was on that evening.
And they both swiped at each other, and then after a quick visit with Nicki Minaj on the stage, J.D. Vance took to the stage Sunday night and was basically saying, listen, we don't have time for these purity test is the word he used, and that it's a big tent and we need to try to keep it together. What were your thoughts on the Vance speech?
There's a big tent, and then there's letting in anti-Semites and racists. And anti-Semites and racists do not belong in a big tent. And all over the internet yesterday, there were people parsing J.D. Vance's speech. And basically he said, okay, we don't like Nick Fuentes, and here's why Nick Fuentes is bad, but, and then he spent the three times as much time as he did against Fuentes, he was blasting the people who dare question Fuentes. And to say you don't have a purity test is one thing. To say that you're not going to write the likes of Nick Fuentes out of the party is completely different, and it's despicable.
Yeah.
The fault is not with those who say we don't want Nick Fuentes and we don't want anti-Semites. If anti-Semites are growing in popularity, as you say they are, you know, Nick Fuentes has a following, then it is the right and the duty of people to stand up and say they have absolutely nothing to do with the conservative movement, should have nothing to do with the conservative movement, and you don't blast them for not having a big enough tent.
So this might be a reach here, but would you say that the left, the voting bloc for the left, or the voting bloc for the right have a larger share of true blue anti-Semites that are just vocal about how much they hate the Jews and Israel? I think there's a lot more of them in the on the left who have a lot higher positions of power, and that by the Republican Party kind of ripping itself apart here over this battle, that you're going to give power to the party that actually has a lot more anti-Semitism in its ranks. Is that fair?
I don't think so. I think that it is a real problem on both sides. I mean, clearly the anti-Semites on the left, I mean, you know, they had organized protests on college campuses. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Even before Israel had responded to the October 7th massacre, I mean, literally the Israeli planes weren't even in the air and the protests had started, which means that, you know, they're not protesting anything Israel had even done.
No, they were basically celebrating the act. They were celebrating what happened, which was horrible.
Yeah, remember the flags with the parachute Remember, because they parachuted in, and they were, they were like celebrating the attack, like you said.
They were.
It's absolutely horrible in a very, sizable minority in the left, and now a growing and sizable minority on the right. And whether left or right, it has to be condemned. We can't be motivated by hatred. We just can't.
More with Quinn Hillier around the corner. To me, it's just amazing. Nick Fuentes is, what, 27 years old, maybe?
I'm not sure. Yeah, he's
born in 1998. And he's having this much effect on all of this, including people just throwing their desks out the window at the Heritage Foundation. Who saw that coming? Amazing. 822, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, 827, Mobile Mornings, and Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. A lot of activity down in the Caribbean, Quinn, with the U.S. and Venezuela.
Well, yeah, and look, I was upset the first term that Trump tried and failed to overthrow the government down there in the first term. People forget that we sort of had to leave. But so I've got no love for them, and I'm all for stopping the drug trade. If you read my stuff, I'm just virulently anti-illegal drugs. I would say, though, that it doesn't make sense if you're using the military to do basically law enforcement by blowing people out of the water, and then you turn around and you pardon an ex-foreign leader who was responsible for importing or exporting to us some of the biggest loads of drugs we've ever had, and then another major drug dealer that Trump just pardoned. And you're sending mixed messages. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was a Honduran guy. Look, either you're against drug smuggling or you're not, and either you're for law enforcement or not. But read Andy McCarthy, very solid conservative, about why what we're doing by blowing the drug boats out of the water is legally dicey.
Do you think if Democrats win the House, which it looks like they will, that they'll push for impeachment again?
Lord, I hope. Well, I hope Trump doesn't do anything that merits impeachment. Well, we really don't want to go through that sort of thing again, but will they try? I'm sure there will be a number of them that try. Will they be stupid enough to go through with it? Now, I say stupid unless Trump really deserves it, but, you know, trying to pick little things to go after him for would be absolutely stupid, and it would be bad for the country. But, you know, that
I don't think they'll be able to resist.
Yeah, I mean, at this day and time, they don't care. It's all about, you know, it's all about their party. So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Every time they do that, even when Trump, I think, deserved it on one of the those times earlier, it ends up reverberating against the Democrats because they look so bloodthirsty.
Yep. They do look bloodthirsty.
Oh, Quinn, we hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody and all the listeners.
After this conversation, how could we not all have a Merry Christmas? Thanks again, Quinn. Appreciate it. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
We're just giving you some ammo for those political fights with your family this Christmas.
Yeah.
A little knowledge going in.
A little honey-baked ham, thrown at Uncle Ralph. We've got more news on the way.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
A lot of text to get to this morning after our conversation with Quinn. Certainly want to get to the Barry Weiss CBS story. I've seen things in my news feed this morning that were decidedly one way with that story.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about that... questioning why Barry Weiss would hold back that story on CECOT, the El Salvadoran super prison, I guess mm-hmm. we'd call it. Also, the Office of El Salvador's Attorney General announced Sunday 248 members of MS-13 were sentenced up to 1,335 years in prison for multiple crimes. Collectively, all 248 MS-13 members were convicted of roughly 240 different counts of crimes committed between 2014 and 2022.
Guilty.
El Salvador, guilty. El Salvador is a very safe place to go to these days. There's a reason for that. And because they have, in mass fashion, locked up the bad people.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the bad people that were here, too, obviously.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I want to get to that. And also this Fulton County news, you know, 315,000 votes in 2020 that didn't have poll worker signatures. And Raffensperger has responded and said, well, the votes still count. We'll get into that. But we do have a lot of texts to get to first after our conversation with Quinn. And let's go through them. Sean says, nobody under 60 gives a crap about the Heritage Foundation. These boomer neocons are in their death throes. It said if Republicans were smart, they would embrace Fuentes and America First, but they're living in the past, and that's why they're going to lose big next year and in 2028. So, you know, I've heard that Nick Fuentes was popular for a long time. I guess the biggest reason I didn't really watch any of his stuff until, that Tucker interview, which was not that long ago, is because it's on Twitch, I think.
Yes.
And
places you don't usually go.
Rumble, yeah, which I've been to and have certain shows every now and then I'll tune into, but never been a Fuentes follower. And his conversation with Tucker, I did know he had a huge following. And I've seen some of the crazier things he's done, like the Elon Musk, Milo Yiannopoulos kind of era he went through where, you know, for someone who's America First, Fuentes has turned against Trump multiple times already. Mm-hmm. And then I actually tuned in for one of his shows. And I can see why a lot of what he's saying is landing, especially with younger crowds. But, and I'm not someone who goes out here and says, you know, oh, racism, racism, and sounds the racism alarm like the lunk alarm at Planet Fitness every other day. But I did hear him talking one bit in one of his shows where he was talking about black folks, and he was saying some pretty vile things. But what gets me about Fuentes and some of these white nationalists is so often they're from lily white towns. Like I think he said in that Chicago suburb he grew up in, it was like 95% white.
And then he went to I can't say this because I've never been on campus. Well, it was on campus one time. But anyway, Boston University, which is an affluent private school,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was tough on him. I don't think he stayed there long because he grew outwardly conservative, right? Mm-hmm. But that's where his growth began. It's amazing the influence this guy is having. And I think that you really hit on something that people should focus on. He's filling a void.
That's right.
And so as people complain about Fuentes and are outraged by Fuentes and are they're frustrated by the popularity of Fuentes, they should probably try to examine why it is so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about, you know, the most inflammatory of his speech, but there's something there he's doing. The same way, like, Turning Point is like the up with people version of the Republican Party, right? It's the young conservatives feeling good about their decisions and feeling good about their politics. Fuentes is a darker edge of all that, mm-hmm. and yet Turning Point's very popular. Fuentes is very popular. I don't mm-hmm. think they're much alike.
And there was
Would you agree?
There's similarities.
There's similarities.
In the America First aspect of it. But I think his popularity and his show comes with a lot more anger about how difficult it is for young people, and in his show, especially young white people, mm-hmm. how difficult it is to gain a foothold these days and to get a good job out of college and not gather a ton of student debt. And then after getting that good job, be able to afford a house and start a family.
And white people are all people.
Well, his comes with the specific spin of white people. But I think it's really connecting with a lot of the youth. And he is, like I said, some of the shows I've watched, there's a lot of racism that, to me, makes him almost a non-starter in some ways. But you can't discount his popularity. And there are things he's said that I agree with. But then he goes off onto some of these tangents. And you remember that he's a troll artist too. That's why he's very popular. He's really good at poking
people.
Knows
what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
And look at the effect he's having right now on the entire right wing with the youth, especially kind of this divide. But with Fuentes being as popular as he is, I don't think that I don't understand the Tucker hate in its entirety. And I know that Tucker has said some things that have rubbed people the wrong way in the past. But after Quinn said, you know, look it up, Tucker has said so many anti-Semitic things, and I could read them one off at a time to you. I hopped on Google and said, you know, give me the anti-Semitic things that Tucker Carlson has said. And a lot of them seemed like reaches to me. Like, they were really reaching to say, uh-oh, this was very anti-Semitic. Now, is he critical of Israel and U.S. foreign policy and how it seems to be dictated often by Israel? Yeah. And I think he overblows it some, too. I don't think that everything is a Jewish conspiracy. But to look at, you know, all of the actions we've had in the Middle East over the last 25 years and why we've done certain things and who's helped push us into that arena, Israel is a main player.
I would say, absolutely. Maybe the player. So I was.
So does that make me anti-Semitic for noticing that there's a country that even a lot of American politicians seem to have more reverence for than their own country that they've been elected to represent?
Well, let me send this recording to Quinn, and he can be the jury on whether you're anti-Semitic or not. In what you've just said, I would say no. Mm. I was at a gathering on Friday night. A lot of people there. A lot of people wanted to talk. So we talked. Oh, you're that guy. Yeah, okay, here I am. So anyway, it's interesting. Quinn sounded a little bit, you know, when you talk to people that you know are NPR, MSN, MS Now, listeners, viewers, all that kind of thing. And that's their drumbeat. That's what they believe. Mm-hmm. Even though these are just TV and radio products, just like anything else. But that's what they choose to believe is the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. Not even question any of it at all. They're all in. Quinn sounded a little bit like that, like one of those people when he was talking about, oh, no, Tucker, no. It's almost like a belief system that goes beyond any of the real. If we're going to debate, we're going to talk, then let's debate. Mm-hmm. But if you're already been pumped full of this belief, like, show me the proof. And in some cases they can, but it's not substantial enough. It's enough for them. It's enough for them not only to believe it, but to be outraged by you for not believing it.
Well, when I asked, you know, isn't this cancel culture going after someone for platforming someone else whose views you don't like? And when the immediate answer was, no, it's not cancel culture. You just can't have any of that. Well, you step back a little bit, and yeah, that is cancel culture. Mm-hmm. You're acting like it's some untouchable thing for a journalist, which Tucker Carlson was, and I'd say still is in many ways, but he's definitely more of a commentator nowadays.
Yeah,
but to put someone on his show and say, we can't have any association, not with the evil, quote unquote, evil person that he interviewed, but with him, that is exactly what the left has been doing for the last 20 years.
I think Tucker Carlson did not, maybe people were sitting and waiting. They were in waiting. Why? Okay, Tucker's going to interview Fuentes. Now the reaction to that is not just Fuentes was on his show. The reaction is Tucker's style or his compliance, I guess you would say. The interview wasn't tough enough on Fuentes would be the complaint. So you're going to listen to Tucker Carlson because he has Fuentes on the show, and now you're going to build your case against Tucker Carlson depending on how he conducts the interview. And so he gave them, who are already predisposed to, we need to get Carlson on this one, he gave them enough of what they wanted for them to run to the horizon screaming.
And this is all kind of silly now, because this interview was probably 3 months ago,
and I
watched it then, and to say that Tucker didn't give any pushback to Fuentes is just incorrect.
Right.
Now, maybe he didn't push back on the specific things you wanted him to see him push back on.
Right.
But he was saying kind of what I was just saying about Tucker. Tucker was saying that to Fuentes, like, not everything's a Jewish conspiracy, dude. Like, let's get to the facts. what's the issue here with Israel and the United States? And Tucker kept telling him, like, you need to leave some of these racial stereotypes behind because it's not really helping your argument. Now, to me, that sounds like pushback from Tucker. But the people that don't like Tucker felt like he just let Fuentes, you know, go along with whatever he wanted to say. And again, Fuentes has a lot of things that he says that connect, and even things that connect with me. But I know overall he's a troll in a big way. And, you know, being from a 97% white town and hating black people, to me, is just kind of, well, ignorant. It's like, well, have you even been around, you know? Have you... there are fantastic people of all races, and if you would just step out there, you know. And I'm not saying that there aren't issues, right? But his whole style of, well, I'm from this ultra white town and I hate black people, just completely is so stupid to me.
Yeah, maybe he could have, you know. I came to my adult life through the service entrance. I worked all those jobs. I worked a little bit to try to pay off college. I worked in Athens, Georgia, and outside of Athens, Georgia, in warehouses, at Crystal. I worked the jobs where I was around everybody. Mm-hmm. That was probably, you know, Fuentes probably could have used a little of that.
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of people could use some of that. A lot of racists could use some of that.
Yes, and so...
Open your worldview a little bit.
Exactly. So, you know, being around coaches and being around athletics. And so, you know, from the very beginning, I've been exposed to all of us in this community. I don't have a problem with it. I'd rather enjoy it, actually. I really like it. I like my associations with and my friendships with all kinds of people.
Because mm-hmm. You're a normal dude.
Well, Fuentes, in that way, you know, he kind of fails the test.
Definitely. Chris says, again, Quinn is an idiot. The only reason I listen to the segment every day is to laugh at his ignorance. I listen to Tucker every day. Everything he says, he's pro-America, and he hates how Israel, specifically Bibi, manipulate our politicians. America first, that's it. He says it's the Quinns of the movement that are causing this, quote-unquote, divide on the right, or it could be... And he says it could be that Charlie was killed by the Mossad to cause this exact thing. Now Tucker knows he's on the list. That's from Chris. Michael, let's see here. I would love to ask Quinn if he's ever actually spent the time to listen to Nick Fuentes in context or even an actual episode. I'm 99% sure him and every other commentator calling him a neo-Nazi have only listened to snippets of what they are pushing. Jason says, sounds like Quinn's for free speech except when he disagrees with it. Is Quinn... telling me that Latino Nick Fuentes is a white supremacist. Another text here. Let's see. I stand with Tucker. Tucker and Nick are Catholics, and they're right about... Oh, this is Ricky. So that's a point against Tucker, I guess, that Ricky agrees with him.
Okay.
Chad says, I also don't really get a lot of the AIPAC hate. People act like they're making congressmen take a blood oath or something. Nobody ever calls out any of the other special interest groups, at least by name and as aggressively, that spend equal money on candidates. I don't think, you know, you talk about a purity test, and Vance said there's no room for purity tests right now. Like, if we agree with most of the same things, then we're all on the same team. I do think there should be a purity test. I think the purity test should be, of all of the countries, do you love America the most? Of all of the people in the world, do you love Americans the most? That's my purity test. And I think a lot of politicians and a lot of commentators would fail that purity test. And I don't think that's too long. That's too hard of a... I don't think that's...
It's a pretty quick test.
I think it's a pretty quick and easy test. Yeah. Do you love America the most? Okay, great. You can be congressman now. You've been voted in. Great. I'm glad to hear you love America the most. Oh, wait. What's that? You love Italy the most? I mean, you love... How about Italy? You love Israel the most? Well... We have some questions.
You love Nigeria the most?
Mm-hmm.
You love...
Canada, Russia, you know, whatever.
You love the Nation of Islam the most? Mm-hmm. And by the way, the most surprising thing Quinn said, because none of what he really said bothered me or surprised me, when he said, and it was, remember, Ed Meese, back in the day when he was the Attorney General, it was Edwin Meese. Mm. You might remember that name, you might not. Edwin Meese. Well, Edwin Meese, he talked about that the day that they had the walkout, that Edwin Meese made some sort of proclamation or wrote a letter or something. Edwin Meese is 94 years old. I wish, I just figured that guy's name was on the side of a building. I didn't think he was still alive.
He should run for office. 94, that's young.
I guess. He responded to the Heritage walkout in a favorable way, I guess. Okay, he's 94. Good for him. You know, he's like Dick Van Dyke without the dancing, I guess.
Yeah, just turned 100, Van Dyke.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll preview the Jeff Poor Show on the way.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:55, busy sports week here. Over the holidays, a lot of basketball, NBA, college ball, and then, of course, bowl games are ongoing and more football to go with the NFL. But Underdog, yeah, that's the place to go to right now, especially with all the family around. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties are back. Underdog's the best place to get in on all of the action. And with Underdog Unwrapped this week, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. They've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, and even some surprises sprinkled in. Now's the best time to get in the game, and you can make entries and win money right here in Alabama. Really easy to set up your entry once you download the app and use my promo code Dalton. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. In basketball, it's stats like points, rebounds, steals. You can mix and match those entries with different sports, different teams. The more players you add, the more money you could win from your entry. You could win actually up to 5,000 times your cash if you get those entries right. So download the app today. Use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. And when you're sitting around the table this week and you've got a family member going, hey, what are you playing with over there? You go, Underdog. Use the promo code Dalton.
Yeah.
Get them all signed up. Underdog.
Hopefully that's the answer.
Make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms. _DFS_.html for details. And if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
One of Jeff Poor's semi-regulars, one of my favorites, Bradley Jays with Breitbart News right there in D.C., so you really get a feel of what's going on. AL1 GOP candidate Joshua McKee and also AL GOP chair, top of the, top of the heap there, John Wall, all part of the Jeff Poor Show, all on the way.
And we're going to have some time tomorrow during the 8 o'clock hour, and I really want to get into this Fulton County news that came out this weekend, 315,000 votes that didn't have the poll worker signatures on, and Raffensperger, the former Secretary of State, I think still currently, saying, oh, nothing to see here. It's still all well and good in a state that Trump lost by 11,000 votes back in 2020. Get into that and the big Barry Weiss debate here over these last couple of days. But a few more texts here. Remember, we had that story about the lady in Florida who saw her son getting bullied in the pool.
Yeah, she went and jumped in the pool and dunked the kid that was dunking her son.
Yeah. And
now she's in jail.
Yes, the Osceola County Jail. And Josh says, discipline your kid. If you do not, someone will. If you then want to start something, then you get disciplined. He also had commentary. We were talking about the dangers of Christmas time, and like 6% of injuries during Christmas come from the tree falling over on someone.
Which I've never seen, never heard about.
He says, it only happened once or twice, but I do remember my dad coming in drunk with mom and knocking the Christmas tree over. He was not used to something being by the door. I remember laughing and my older sisters crying. Good times.
So, you know, when the tree does fall over, it's not even the tree's fault. It's drunken daddy's fault.
I talked about my purity test for, you know, being a politician in America. Just tell me you love America the most and you love Americans the most. And Jesse, with a good, valid counterpoint here, he said, they would just say, yes, I love America the most. They're liars.
Some in there.
I'll concede that point to you, Jesse.
Yeah. Some go as far as to let you know how they really feel after they've been elected, which is kind of creepy, right? 8:59, Jeff Poor on the way.